ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
विदेहनगरे पुरा तस्य मे शिक्षितं किञ्चिन् नभोदनृपनन्दना। O son of kings, previously in the city of Videha there dwelled a prostitute named Pingala. Now please hear what I have learned from that lady. Once that prostitute, desiring to bring a lover into her house, stood outside in the doorway at night, showing her beautiful form. O best among men, this prostitute was very anxious to get money, and as she stood on the street at night, she studied all the men who were passing by, thinking, "Oh, this one surely has money. I know he can pay the price, and I am sure he would enjoy my company very much." Thus she thought about all the men on the street. As the prostitute Pingala stood in the doorway, many men came and went, walking by her house. Her only means of sustenance was prostitution, and therefore she anxiously thought, "Maybe this one who is coming now is very rich. Oh, he is not stopping, but I am sure someone else will come. Surely this man who is coming now will want to pay me for my love, and he will probably give lots of money." Thus, with vain hope, she remained leaning against the doorway, unable to finish her business and go to sleep. Out of anxiety, she would sometimes walk out toward the street, and sometimes she went back into her house. In this way, the midnight hour gradually arrived. O King, just as a human being who is bereft of spiritual knowledge never desires to give up his false sense of proprietorship over many material things, similarly, a person who has not developed detachment never desires to give up the bondage of the material body. The prostitute Pingala said, "Just see how greatly illusioned I am. Because I cannot control my mind, just like a fool, I desire lusty pleasure from an insignificant man. I am such a fool that I have given up the service of that person who, being eternally situated within my heart, is actually most dear to me. That most dear one is the Lord of the universe, who is the bestower of real love and happiness and the source of all prosperity. Although he is in my own heart, I have completely neglected him. Instead, I have ignorantly served insignificant men who can never satisfy my real desires and who have simply brought me unhappiness, fear, anxiety, lamentation, and illusion. Oh, how I have uselessly tortured my own soul! I have sold my body to lusty, greedy men who are themselves objects of pity. Thus, practicing the most abominable profession of a prostitute, I hope to get money and sex pleasure. This material body is like a house in which I, the soul, am living. The bones forming my spine, ribs, arms, and legs are like the beams, cross beams, and pillars of the house. And the whole structure, which is full of stool and urine, is covered by skin, hair, and nails. The nine doors leading into this body are constantly excreting foul substances. Besides me, what woman could be so foolish as to devote herself to this material body, thinking that she might find pleasure and love in this contraption? Certainly in this city of Videha, I alone am completely foolish. I neglected the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards us everything, even our original spiritual form, and instead I desire to enjoy sense gratification with many men. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is absolutely the most dear one for all living beings, because he is everyone's well-wisher and lord. He is the supreme soul situated in everyone's heart, Therefore, I will now pay the price of complete surrender, and thus purchasing the Lord, I will enjoy him just like Lakshmi Devi. Men provide sense gratification for women, but all these men, and even the demigods in heaven, have a beginning and an end. They are all temporary creations who will be dragged away by time. Therefore, how much actual pleasure or happiness could any of them ever give to their wives? Although I most stubbornly hope to enjoy the material world, somehow or other, detachment has arisen in my heart, and it is making me very happy. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, must be pleased with me. Without even knowing it, I must have performed some activity satisfying him. With devotion, I accept the great benefit that the Lord has bestowed upon me. Having given up my sinful desires for ordinary sense gratification, I now take shelter of him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am now completely satisfied, and I have full faith in the Lord's mercy. Therefore, I will maintain myself with whatever comes of its own accord. I shall enjoy life with only the Lord, because he is the real source of love and happiness. In the Vedic literatures, we find many references to prostitutes. This particular reference, the story of Pingala, the prostitute of the city of Videha, is being spoken by Lord Sri Krishna to his friend Uddhava. He is describing how, at one time, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was the king, he took a tour to holy places. He wanted to meet saintly persons. All great personalities are always seeking out the shelter of the lotus feet of other great personalities. Although Prahlad Maharaj was a Mahabhagavat, he'd never considered that I am so great that I don't need to associate with sadhus. The most cripple-hearted people, they think that I know God, I'm living a pious life, what do I need to seek out the association of sadhus for? But the more advanced you are, the more you will naturally feel a great, great, great yearning and longing for the company of those who love God. So as Prahlad Maharaj was traveling, he met one Avadhuta Brahman who was laying practically naked on the pathway in a jungle. And Prahlad asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, he told him that I am just here meditating on Krishna. Whatever Krishna puts in my mouth, I eat. Whatever he doesn't put in my mouth, what do I need? Krishna is in control. Why should I endeavor for anything separate than remembering him? And Prahlad noticed that he was quite heavy set. Krishna provides for his devotee. Actually, it is said in the Bible also, when Jesus asked his disciples, "Follow me," they said, "How will we eat? How will we maintain ourselves?" He said, "Do you not see the birds in the sky? Is not God providing them all the food that they need? Do you not see the lilies, the flowers in the field, how they are dressed and clothed more elegantly than King Solomon? If God will provide for even these insignificant creatures, you do not think he will provide the needs of one who has surrendered his life to him?" So this Brahman, he had everything he wanted and more, simply because he had faith and trust in Krishna. You see, if you do not have faith and trust in Krishna, you're on your own, my friend. You have to make it in this world of hard knocks and somehow or other survive. But Krishna says, "Ananyaschintayanto mam yejana pariyupashite tesham nitya vayuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham." That if you have faith and surrender to Lord Sri Krishna, then he provides protection for whatever you have, and he will carry what you lack. This doesn't mean we are irresponsible, but it means we live a simple life, and we make Krishna consciousness. We make our spiritual life a priority. Krishna says, Namam duskrita nor mudha, that the mudhas, they think that they are in control of their destiny, and therefore they work and toil like the ass, somehow or other, to make ends meet, and they have no time to chant the holy name of God. They have no time to associate with saintly persons. They have no time to go to the temple to worship the beautiful form of the Lord. This is, Krishna considers these people duskritina. They are miscreants. They are the most unfortunate. They think that they are the doers of their activities. But if one simply hears submissively with oral reception and develops faith, one can understand that the more I give of my life to Krishna, the more Krishna will provide all the necessities through my responsible occupation in this world. Simple living, high thinking means we create a good balance in our life. We do the necessary, but we are not so greedy and we are not so illusioned to think but by our efforts we will give happiness to ourselves or others. We do the needful to make ends meet, to prosper. But the first and foremost consideration is the spiritual prosperity of ourselves and the ones we love. If we don't consider that, according to Krishna, we are mudhas. We are foolish, unfortunate donkeys who foam at the mouth, working hard all day just for a little grass. So, Lord, this Brahman, he was showing Prahlad, you are the king, and you are doing your duty to God. You are maintaining the whole kingdom, providing the necessities for all citizens, protecting the country with big, big armies. That is your service to the Lord. And my service is just to lay here and think about Krishna. And Krishna is providing both of us just what we need. And there's various classes of men, and there's various ways that Krishna wants different people to serve. But if we surrender, we are happy, we are joyful, we are protected in every shape. And Prahlad Maharaj said, oh, you are very learned. Who is your guru? And Brahman said, I have many, many gurus. And he started to explain how he had, for instance, the earth was his guru, the sky was his guru, the sun was his guru, the rivers, the oceans, the mountains, and also a prostitute of the name Pingala. Srila Prabhupada used to say, you can take gold even from a filthy place. Because gold is always gold, and it is always precious. So whoever speaks the truth, you should accept it with a grateful heart. And this beautiful story, which is being narrated, through this Brahman, by Lord Krishna himself, is very, very important to understand. We are reading how Pingala, she was just an ordinary materialistic woman trying to somehow or other feed herself, feed her family, and so forth. And she knew no other way of making money than prostitution. Now, according to any civilized society, prostitution is the lowest, most abominable possible way to earn one's livelihood. And Krishna wants to point out that however abominable you may be, He doesn't even consider it once you take shelter of his lotus feet. This prostitute was so much anxious for two things, money and sex. Does that sound familiar? Practically this whole world is revolving around these two principles, money and sex, greed and lust. And she was very successful. Krishna described she was very beautiful, and she knew all the arts of charming men. But one night, she had no customers. She was waiting and waiting and waiting. And every man that went by her, how was she looking at them? How I can exploit them to give me money and sex. Of course, Krishna is using the most extreme example of Pingala, a prostitute. But factually, every materialistic person, I hate to say this, is nothing less than a prostitute. Literally. Why? You've all heard the saying, there's only one male in Vrindavan, that's Krishna. We're all females. We are all his property. We are all meant for his enjoyment. And when we are looking to be enjoyed by someone else and to enjoy someone else, what does that make us, literally? Who knows? Prostitute. When we see a prostitute in the street, we think, what an abominable, terrible person that must be, selling herself for others, just to make some money, just for some pleasure. But little do we know that we're indirectly talking about ourselves. We don't like to admit it, but why not? It's true. We are Krishna's property. We are meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. He is the husband of all living beings. And yet we are looking toward others, and how do we look at people? Pingala was looking in a very extremely degraded state, but the same principle is there for everybody in material life. We're looking at everybody, what we can get from them, how we can find some pleasure by exploiting them one way or other. Even in family life, we love our children. Why? Because they're mine. And by being mine, looking like me, talking like me, following my path in life, they're giving me pleasure. Why do I not love the child next door as much as mine? He's getting better grades, he's more well-behaved. Because this one is mine, and that one is someone else's. If someone else's child dies, we say, I'm sorry. But if our child dies, it's the end of the world, because this is mine. And I can no longer enjoy him. This is my house. This is my bankroll. This is my body. We love someone who is a friend because they give us sense gratification. They help us somehow or other in sense gratification, and our enemies are those who interfere with our sense gratification. We're making our friends and enemies all on the basis of our own desire to exploit the resources of God's energy. This is material life. And Pingala was symbolizing everyone's consciousness. Every man that went by, she was thinking, oh, what can I get from him? But no one was giving anything. And therefore, she was becoming too much disgraced, too much frustrated. It was beyond her power. hour after hour after hour went by, until, alas, the midnight hour and beyond. And in her frustration, she began to internalize her perceptions of life. Up until that point, she was simply looking outside through her senses by her mind for some pleasure in this world, for some position. But now Pingala was starting to think, what is this all about? She became sober. As long as a person is too much intoxicated thinking I am enjoying, they cannot understand the absolute truth. Until one becomes a little sober by realizing the true nature of this material existence, one's ears and heart cannot open to hear the truth. If a person is too much intoxicated, can you preach to him? He thinks he's enjoying, even though he's in the most lamentable condition. You have to wait till he sobers up, till the intoxication wears off. Then he realizes he has a hangover, he's suffering, he's degraded. Then he's anxious to hear. Pingala became enlightened by the grace of God through the frustrations of her material endeavors. And these are the beautiful prayers. Elsewhere in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is another beautiful story about one Brahman from Avantadesh. This Brahman was very wealthy. He worked very hard and attained so much money. And he had a large family. And because he was so proud, he was so much in the mode of passion, Rajaguna, just earning, earning, earning. And he was thinking that I am the controller, I am the Lord, I am the doer, see how good I am. He would misuse his friends, he would misuse his wife, he would misuse his children by harsh words, by being intolerant of their disobedience to him. The more you control, the more you want to be the controller. That is the nature of material life. The more you think I am controlling, the more you feel I should be the supreme controller, the ultimate controller. And therefore, it's very dangerous to have a position of control in this world. Because through that power, Maya totally intoxicates the ego. And this man, he became so much intoxicated by his money and power that he couldn't even treat people nicely anymore. He simply wanted everyone to be obedient to him. And in this way, his family, they didn't even care for him anymore. They only liked him because of what he was providing. But by the arrangement of the almighty power of providence, a change came into his life. All at once, many things took place. His property was burned by fire. His agricultural fields were taken away by the government because he wasn't paying his taxes. Thieves came when they saw his vulnerable position and stole practically everything else. And his family, when they saw that this is a sinking ship, nobody likes a sinking ship. And if the captain is on a sinking ship, get out. So what they did, his family members, is they just took everything they could, whatever little was left, and they were gone. And the Avanti Brahman was laying there on the ground. He had no property, he had no money, he had no food. His family members rejected him and left. His friends, he was from high society. What high society person wants anything to do with a failure? Huh? People in high society, they want to associate with people who are successful. Because it gives it, why? Not because they like the person, but because it's good for their image. Everyone's just, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, mutual exploitation. The world of the cheaters and the cheated, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say. So in this way, he had no friends. They abandoned him, his family members, because he misused them, and he was no longer good for their sense gratification. They left him. He went, you heard the saying, from rags to riches. He went from riches to rags. Quickly. And you can imagine the pain of his heart. He was in utter frustration. He was suffering. He was crying. He didn't know where to go, where not to go, who to go to, who not to go to. He was a man alone. The arrows of insult, degradation of his ego were so piercing in his heart that he could not bear it, he could not withstand it. He never in a million billion years could have even dreamed that such a thing could happen to him. But the fact is, whatever your material situation, it can happen to you tomorrow. Because providence is very powerful. So this poor Avanti Brahman, he was just laying on the ground, weeping, crying, suffering. And in that condition, a transformation came into his life. The same transformation that took place in the frustration experienced by Pingala on this auspicious night in the city of Videha. Pingala understood the ultimate wealth of Krishna in her heart. Why? Because she realized that no other wealth was there. And the Avanti Brahman, as long as he was intoxicated by all his wealth, he never understood the wealth within his heart. But in this condition of total lamentation due to loneliness, he turned to Krishna in his heart. And upon doing that, he experienced the ultimate joy, the ultimate happiness. And he began to pray, what kind of a greedy nonsense fool I have been, and how this whole world is in such illusion, chasing after the dreams of material enjoyment. And everyone in this dream, in the name of love, is simply exploiting one another. But the only real object of love is Krishna, the Lord in our heart. When we love Him, we can understand true love for His presence in everyone's heart. Every living being is His part and parcel. Every other love outside of Krishna consciousness is simply an intoxicated illusion. And he began to thank Krishna for what he had done for him. And he became one in the renounced order of life. And he began to just travel here and there, like a sannyasi. And when people saw him, they could not tolerate it. Because the people of society knew he was famous, that he used to be a rich man. And now everyone thought, this man is a bum, he's a parasite, he's a failure. No one showed him any respect. He had a little begging bowl. Sometimes he would sit on the bank of the river and people would just come up to him and they would throw rocks and stones at him and the most horrible, harsh words to insult him. When he had a little food in his begging bowl, people would come. They were so disgraceful, they would pass urine and stool in his begging bowl. sometimes just to harass him and have fun, they would tie him in chains. It is explained in the Bhagavatam by Sri Krishna that sometimes they would just come up past foul air right in his face and slap him and insult him with terrible words. And for one who has been honored, dishonored is worse than death. And this man was a highly honored person. And this is what his life had come to. And while he was experiencing all this terrible, terrible persecution, ridicule, and harassment, he was experiencing the ultimate pleasure of Krishna's love. And he was gratefully thanking Krishna that you are so kind. Due to my past misdeeds, I deserve much more worse than this. But you are so kind that you have allowed me to taste the sweet nectar of your love within my heart. And therefore, whatever happens in this world, I am grateful. I am proud to be your servant. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he took sannyas, the renounced order of life, he chose the first thing after taking sannyas to remember and sing the beautiful prayers of this Avanti Brahman. That my Lord, whatever my condition, I'm taking shelter of you who are seated within my heart. And I am following the path of the great authorities of Krishna consciousness, the previous acharyas. And in this way, there is no joy supreme over this. So both of these beautiful stories are told by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the aim of making us a little sober. Here we find a Brahmin, who's the highest person in society, and we also find Pingala, who's a prostitute, untouchable, the lowest person in society. Do you think Krishna cares if you're high or low according to society? Krishna is only concerned with one thing. Are you becoming humble and are you taking shelter of his lotus feet? That's all he sees. That's all he concerns himself with. As long as you're proud of what you have and what you can do, whether you're the highest or the lowest, you have no entrance into Krishna's heart. But when you become humble and you take shelter, when you turn to Krishna, when you call out his name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, then you are given full entrance into the Lord's heart. So how does that pertain to me, you may be thinking? Does that mean I have to lose everything and people start passing urine on me before I can become a nice devotee? Or does that mean I have to become a prostitute? No. This was the natural condition of these people's lives. The symbol of what is being spoken, we have to put into the context that Krishna is speaking to Uddhava. Uddhava was a prince. He didn't want Uddhava to give everything away. He didn't want Uddhava to be a failure in the world. But he wanted to impress upon him the importance of giving up one's false pride. Giving up this manipulative attitude of trying to exploit Krishna's resources. But learning how to be humble. And what does it mean to be humble? People have a very, very external misunderstanding of humility. They think that being humble means touching someone's lotus feet, or going offering pranams, or saying all sorts of words that I am nothing and I am the lowest. Anybody can say that. Real humility is to truly from one's heart accept that I am the servant. How can I serve you? And mean it. Not just say it, but mean it. Back your words by action and be the servant. What does it mean to be servant? To not be the enjoyer. To live for the pleasure of Krishna. Maharaj Yudhisthira, he was the great king, but he was more humble than a blade of grass. Arjuna was fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, killing hundreds and thousands of soldiers with his mighty Gandiva bow. But while he was doing it, he was more humble than a blade of grass, because he was not doing it for his own exploitation. He was doing it as a humble service to Krishna. Sometimes, if someone is misleading other people, we must become angry and defeat that person philosophically. That's humility. If you don't do it, that's not humility. That's weak-heartedness. Humility means I am the servant. Hanuman was tearing the Rakshasas apart with his claws. Sugriva bit off the nose of Ravana. This is humility, because they were serving the mission of the Lord according to the need of the time. They were not doing it for their own personal enjoyment or prestige. So, the intoxication of the illusion that I am the controller and I am the enjoyer is what keeps us from this humble state of service to the Lord and service to his devotees. And therefore, it is the most vital, important thing that we must cultivate this type of detachment. And this pertains to everyone in their current state of affairs. We should not judge a person by the externals of how they appear. In English, there is a saying, you cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. An intelligent person looks to the content of a man's heart, the content of a man's actions, the content of a man's words. Krishna explains that this is what determines whether one is a Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Not one's birth, not one's external positioning. Pingala, the prostitute, became a perfectly enlightened, self-realized, pure devotee of the Lord in one night. Therefore, we should all worship her. When she was a prostitute, we wouldn't worship her. But she was no longer a prostitute. She was a Mahatma, because she took shelter of Krishna. And similarly, the Avanti Brahman. He was a Brahman. But before, who cares he was a Brahman? He was a greedy miser. But when he took shelter of the Lord in the core of his heart, he became more than a Brahman. He became a Vaishnava, a devotee. So this is the goal of life, to have faith and trust that Krishna is the provider, the protector. He is the goal of life. With this faith, we must learn how to take shelter of Krishna. And how to take shelter of Krishna? We learn by associating with those persons who are desperately striving to take shelter of Krishna. And they show us the way by hearing his message and by relating to it. These stories that Krishna is narrating in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam are not simply meant for entertainment. They are meant to change our lives. And any one of these stories, if you listen attentively, it will change your entire life. Any one of these stories, if you hear it carefully, with a truly sincere heart, you will attain self-realization simply by hearing that one lila. Each of these wonderful narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to transform our heart and teach us how to turn inward to Krishna. And that same Krishna who has appeared within our heart, who is unknown to us because of our intoxicated state, has so mercifully appeared through the sound of his name. Therefore, this, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught, is the means of taking shelter of the Lord in this age of Kali, by learning to take shelter of his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much.